So, hola. My name's Anne Marie McKelvey, and this is the Mindfulness Coaching School Mindfulness Coaching Call. And we do this on the first Monday of every month, although last Monday I was engaged in Marfa, Texas, going through some wonderful times. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Marfa before, but it's definitely a place of contemplation and introspection. There was a fellow named Donald Judd who moved there back in the 50s. He had been a New York sculptor and was very successful and just needed to get out of the city. So he found Marfa, Texas. There's a whole story here, but in any event, he landed there and it was just this really small little town. It had made itself known only because there was a railroad track that went through. And the Airbnb that I had, my backyard was the railroad track. And on the side yard was the cemetery, where I think that there were more gravestones than there were people who were alive in Marfa. And one of the signs on the, on every entrance to this graveyard that was very old, like, you know, mid-1800s, were some of the dates that I found. But and on the outside of every entrance going into the cemetery, it said, "Enter at your own risk." Now, I have never, ever seen a cemetery that had a sign that said, "Enter at your own risk." And the whole time was very quirky and it was great. All that to say, we didn't meet last week because we canceled and we had kind of a vote last month to do it today. So thanks for joining us. There were a lot of people that got a little confused and showed up last week. And so anyway, here we are. I wanted to focus in on raising consciousness, up-leveling our consciousness. I only want to go for like, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, talk about it with all of us, and do some coaching if possible, at the end. So I want to leave time for that. But one of the things that I've been looking at a lot is how interrelated we all are in the world, and it's becoming smaller and smaller, as we know. I mean, I'm not going to say anything new tonight, but I do want to say that it's uncanny how my experience of life in Santa Fe, New Mexico, can be very similar to a colleague's over in Kiev, Ukraine, who's been in the basement for over a month. Different settings, different environments, different experiences, totally. And yet there's some sort of a camaraderie. And as coaches, I think it's really important to be able to discern when it's time to up-level our state of consciousness. And sometimes, you know, it's just, you know, we're gliding through. It's just a nice day. It's great. It's like, yeah, you know, here we go. But then there are other times, and Cindy Friedman, who also lives in Santa Fe, we've been having horrendous winds, like 75-mile-hour gusts of winds, 45 miles normal, which normal, I don't know what that is anymore. But it's unnerving, and it's been going on for a while. So things shift. And so over on the other side of Santa Fe is Cindy, and who knows what she's going through, but whatever it is, we need to kind of choose what level of consciousness do we want to be in the world with, because we have that choice always, no matter what's going on. If we're in a basement in Ukraine, or if we're on the high desert in New Mexico. It's so easy to get amnesia around that. You know, we think that it's the situational pieces that guide our lives in terms of are we happy or not. And what we learn in Deeper Than Words through nonviolent communication is that when most of our needs are met, we're happier. It's just what is. And usually those needs have a physicality to them. You know, there's a solidness to them. And so we can easily start thinking that if I have a nice house, if I have this, if I have that, you know, those tangible consumerism things, that my life is going to be happy. But for those of us who've you know, had those things in our lives, and maybe still do, it doesn't really make a difference. You know, I mean, I lost my AirPods somewhere between Marfa, Texas and Santa Fe, New Mexico last week. And you would have thought that I had lost just a favorite family member. I mean, I was just in a dither. And then it was like, Emery, wait a minute. These are just AirPods. You can buy another set of AirPods. This is okay. You don't have to listen to Watership Downs the whole trip on your AirPods. You know, it was like I had to talk myself down. That is, you know, I mean, it's kind of an inconsequential sharing to say, but how often do we get so attached to our, you know, creature comforts that we create suffering for ourselves? And those are just the little things. Those are just the little sufferings, the little S's. But the big S's, you know, during the pandemic, being, you know, choosing to be sheltered, choosing to comply to rules and not be rebellious, choosing to be rebellious and not comply to, you know, it's like there are all these choices that we make. So in a world right now where there's so much change happening, and there's so much to adapt to and integrate, how do we move forward? You know? And I like to fall back on my Buddhist teachings. And I'm also studying the Bible on Thursday mornings. You know, just I like religion. I like philosophy. And I like comparing and seeing so many similarities. But for tonight, I just want to bring forward, there was a fellow, he was a Tibetan scholar and teacher. His name was Atisha, A-T-I-S-H-A, Atisha. And he was back in the 10th or 11th century. What he was known for was his mind training. And that's why I'm a Buddhist practitioner, because I like the whole idea of training my mind. So it's not a monkey mind that's jumping all over the place on a trampoline and then over on a jungle gym and then over here. You know, it's like I'm training my mind. And Atisha was known for his slogans. Now, I don't know about you all, but I love affirmations. I love to see what I'm telling myself. And if I'm telling myself something that is not helpful, you know, like the wind will never stop. It's always going to be like that. Always. Always. And then it's like it gets worse and worse and worse. And that doesn't really help me. But if I look at what would the antidote be to this wind that's been going for a long time, what would that be? What kind of a slogan could I create for that? And so that's what Atisha was all about. You know, for those of you who love to study business, you know, Seth Godin's podcast Akimbo is one that I frequent quite often. I like him a lot and I trust him. But he has a slogan that, you know, people like us do things like this. People like us do things like this. And that just sort of settles me. People like us do things like this. People like us, you know, live in our integrities. We're honest. And so we do things like this. We choose to have a mindfulness coaching school that is, that's akin to helping people alleviate suffering in the world for themselves and for their clients. And so people like us do things like this. We work on our heads. We work on our inner spaces. We don't linger and indulge in our suffering. We don't overstep it. You know, we're not doing spiritual bypasses in the negative sense. I do like spiritual bypasses, I have to tell you that. But not necessarily, you know, in relationship to denying what's going on. But there is a lot to be said for doing a spiritual bypass with slogans. So Atisha, A-T-I-S-H-A, Tibetan scholar and teacher. He was a Rinpoche. He worked with slogans. And so those antidotes are really an important piece. So your mind tells you something that's gripping and you start believing it. And then you start acting as though it's true. And then you make decisions based on those actions and based on the responses you're getting. And sometimes, you know, it just didn't have any kind of a foundation to begin with. But now you're perpetuating an illusion that your monkey mind created. Has anybody done that before besides me? Yeah, yeah. And I should just check to see if there's more people that want to come in. I forget this piece. Hold on just a second. Let's see. So when I promote you to panelists, that doesn't mean that you have to say anything. It just means that you can be seen. Just want everybody to know that. Okay. Here we go. So what I'd like you to do right now is get a piece of paper and a pencil, your keyboard monitor are fine also, and write down what has been happening for you today. You know, for me, as I said, it was the wind. I feel like I have rocks in my eyes from the, you know, the pollen and the wind. And it's like, ugh. I can create a really raspy kind of cough if I want to. But is that helping me raise my consciousness? No, I don't think so. Kind of helps me linger down there and go into a rabbit hole. So write down what you've been suffering with today. Very simple, very succinct, only one thing. Okay. And now what I'd like you to do is, because we have such a few, this I really kind of like this, that we're just a small group of 13 people all told. Whoops, here we've got some more people. Most people are not wanting to come in to be seen. So again, take a piece of paper and a pencil, write down what you've been suffering with today. And suffering doesn't mean that, you know, you had to amputate a leg or something, or you're in major pain because your lover left, or anything like that. It can be very simple. It can be something that keeps reoccurring in your mind. Okay. And when you're ready, what I'd like you to do is put it in chat. Oh, Shanti, did you get on? Yes, okay. I just saw your chat. So Charisse, and good, hi Charisse, where did you, there you are, I saw you come in, hi. Am I saying your name right, Charisse? It's pretty. Charisse is overwhelmed. That's how she's been suffering today, overwhelm. Totally understand that. Challenge, focusing, overwhelm. Inflation versus retirement. Rapid changes with little time to digest. I just changed a phone and I lost the invitation. Cindy says, challenge of differing opinions with co-leaders about Zoom versus on-site Seder table for Passover. There are things I need to do and feeling anxious about them. Getting focused. Okay. So look at those. And I definitely, I definitely relate to that. I mean, there's another slogan that Atisha would say. It was called "Just Like Me." And so when you find yourself ruthlessly judging someone, you can just go, "Just like me." Because usually if we can identify it, we've got it. I think in AA we say something like, if you spot it, you got it. I think that's how it goes. So if that's happening for you, when I just read some of these pieces in chat, then yeah, we're all two-legged humans. You know, we're all right here. So let's do an antidote. What would the antidote be to these? So take your personal one and reframe it with an antidote. So for instance, if the antidote was "just like me," it could be that I was suffering with the phrase or with the monkey mind telling me, just judging people, you know, "I don't believe that woman just said that," or "that guy just cut me off. He almost ran into my car." You ever heard? Well, then if we just respond and go, "just like me," there's a leveling that happens. And in that leveling, there's also a level of consciousness that's raised, because we're not scurrying with all that suffering. We're actually making headway with the antidote. Okay, it looks like everybody's kind of done. So I'm just curious, what do you have? If you would just read what you were suffering with today, and then what your antidote is. Matt, do you want to start? Would you like to share?
Yeah.
Unmute you. Oh, good. You got it. Okay.
So I didn't have a chance to put it in there yet because I was fumbling over the words. But what I've been suffering with is rapid changes. And this is something I've been working with for 2-3 months now. A lot is hitting me in life. Good changes. Beautiful, bright future. But sometimes the mind wants to hold on to the past because it's familiar. And I like downtime to think about what's actually happened. And I'm working with this. In fact, some of my recent peer coaching sessions have been around this concept. Mm-hmm. And what I fail to do is to calm myself down enough in the evening to let go and to process my day. When I make that time,
okay, so I'm gonna
one more piece.
So what is your antidote, do you think? Because I love your story. What's your antidote?
The antidote is more reflection.
So how would you, so it would just be those two words, more reflection. So when you're telling yourself, what?
Telling myself, I guess it's kind of like overwhelm, like everyone else. There's a lot of things going on in life.
But it's important to get real specific to what you're telling yourself.
Okay.
So you wrote rapid changes with little time to digest.
Yeah.
Okay. So perhaps the antidote could be something like specifically.
Take time to reflect every day.
So I take time to reflect every day. But how does that address the rapid changes with little time to digest? Because I want you to address those in the antidote. So it's okay. Very specific.
So specifically, I tend to not take time to digest. And by creating
I don't want you to explain. Oh. We're going to be very Zen-like with this. It's going to be very Zen-like. Okay. So an antidote. I just want an antidote that's specific to the suffering. So if I looked at your antidote, I would know that this had to do with rapid changes and digestion of okay. those changes.
Take time each day to reflect on the changes in life.
So take time to, say it again.
Take time to reflect on changes each day.
Okay.
And so I can add more to that, but at risk of becoming story-like.
Yeah, you don't need to do a story because when we're suffering, what's important is to nip it in the bud immediately and not going into a narrative. It's like just, because again, this is mind training. So for me, what I would probably do, I would say something like, I'm learning to flow with the changes and digest them fully. I'm learning to flow with the changes and digest them fully. But that's me. What you want is you're going to take time to reflect on changes each day. But what I would do is just I would eliminate the each day and just say I'm taking time to ch reflect on changes, or I take time to reflect on changes. Does that feel like an antidote? Is that strong medicine for you?
Yeah, I think it would feel even better if I did it throughout the day rather than waiting until the end of the day.
That's what mind training is about.
Okay.
Good. Good. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Who else would like to share? These might be, they might sound very simple, simplistic, and yet, do you do them? Do you do them? Christy, and it's good to see you, Christy. Welcome back. I saw your email saying you're coming back to the school. Delighted.
And I'm unmuted here. Hi, wonderful to see you.
Yeah.
So the struggle today has been inflation versus retirement. I'm hoping to leave my regular job at the end of this year. And so my mind's trying to problem solve. Am I coming through okay? I'm hearing a little feedback. So the antidote that I came up with is abundance is here now. It's always here right now.
Great. Perfect. Yeah, you just totally address it. Now, anything else? Does that feel complete? And I'm not asking the question because I think you need something more added.
No. For me, it is. I mean,
Good.
it's a big truth.
Abundance is here now, is always here right now. Okay, good. Thank you. Very succinct. Good. Good. Shanti.
I found this challenging. So mine was can't focus, overwhelm. So getting ready for a trip, and my antidote was I can focus on my breath. I don't know if that's right, but I just thought that when I'm feeling in that space, when I remember that I can focus on my breath, it kind of brings me back down.
Good. I'm typing this in. That's why I'm not responding right away. So, what would happen if rather than saying I can focus on my breath, what would happen if you said something like I am focusing on my breath as I move forward?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or I focus on my breath as I move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because that overwhelm can bite us
Yeah.
and tie us up and lasso us and hold us back, and suddenly we have no motivation and we're really overwhelmed. Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks. Charisse.
Good evening, everyone. So I'm been suffering from overwhelm, and my antidote is the affirmation, taking one step at a time.
Great. So do you want to say something like, I am taking one step at a time? Or I take one step at a time through the overwhelm, or just taking one step at a time.
Yeah, because usually when I feel it in the body, that's kind of where I feel it in my head and all throughout my body. And so I'm just trying to stay present focused. When that happens, I can remember, like in the moment, just take one step at a time.
Good, good. Go right to the gusto. Yeah, thank you. Perfect. Judah.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Hi, everybody. I happen to have my copy of Commentary on Lord Zhang sitting on my desk, so this was timely. This warrants a really deep discussion on slogans and affirmations and all that stuff, so thanks for bringing it all up. My challenge was, what did I put here? There are things I need to do and feeling anxious about them. Okay. There are things I need to do and I was feeling anxious about them. And my slogan was all in due time.
Okay. Good, good. And as Therese is going like this, and I was just going to say, and as Therese would, you know, probably ask you, where do you feel that in your body when you feel, you know, when you tell yourself all in due time?
Feel it here, my heart.
Okay.
You know, actually through to my arms, I think.
Okay. Good. Good. Great. Thank you. Perfect. Yeah. Nikki, who has mindfulness right above her head. I love it.
Yes, I do.
I mean, and sometimes slogans have to be written out.
Yeah. So mine was focused, and I actually did this today, but my antidote to not feeling focused, because I get creative ideas and my mind goes all over the place, is write down ideas, pick one, and just start.
Yeah, good. Great. So do you see the importance of just zenning things down without a narrative? Yeah. Cindy. You're on mute, love. You're on mute. Cindy, you're on mute.
I had posted the antidote when that was requested, just enjoy weightlessness in the swimming pool, so let go of the drama. But I guess my slogan would be let go of the drama. And then perhaps the essence of the conflict will emerge and we'll all communicate from our best selves and people will be served in the best way.
Okay, good. Yeah. Let go of the drama. Okay. And, you know, with that, I also like to, I always fall back on, I'm not taking my life personally. That really is sort of like.
Did you say I'm not taking my life personally?
Yeah, I'm not taking my life personally. It's sort of a come to Jesus moment for me. You know, it's like, Emery, you're taking so, you know, it's like you're acting as though this is the end of the world, you know. Don't take your life personally. You know, those AirPods, you know, they have, there's an app that says Find Me. And so I went to Find Me and I went for my AirPods and they were in the Socorro, in the Bosque del Apache Socorro Wilderness. And okay, well, you know, it's 2.5 hours south. I was there. But I know that I use my AirPods later, and I got all wrapped up in it, and then the next morning I woke up and I tried it again, and then it was they had moved to south of Albuquerque, in a place over near the airport, the international airport, and it was like, okay, do I want to take this personally? It's like, do I want to even, is this my story or is this my AirPod story or is this even a story? I mean, this could be a technological glip. Well, it was. I found my AirPods earlier today in my apron pocket. You know, they had been here all the time. And I created this whole thing. You know, I went to Best Buy and I bought a new one because I wanted to listen. And I took my life personally. It somehow made it, you know, it meant something about me, about these AirPods. So we, you know, if we find things, you know, to get attached to, as we would say in Buddhist, you know, circles. And then we do a spin with them. So let go of the drama. Yeah, don't take life personally. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Woody or Angie, would you like to share? How are we doing on time? Okay. All right. So these are very simple things. And what happens when we find an antidote to some sort of suffering that we're creating for ourselves? We go into a growth mindset. excuse me, this is my raspy cough. We go into a growth mindset because that antidote is strong medicine, as I mentioned, I think it was to Matt when I was working with Matt. And when we go into that growth mindset, it gives us more possibilities on how to live. It gives us more wiggle room. And I actually have been using, I mean, Carol Dweck, you know, is known for fixed and growth mindsets. And I like to actually even go beyond that and go into infinite mindsets. So there's not even a mindset. It's infinite. It's like, it's the multiverse. It's multi-galaxies. So that whatever is out there in the world, maybe it's a group collective, you know, not just with two-leggeds. I mean, who knows? It could be, you know, people from other planets. I don't know. But an infinite mindset gives us more possibilities. So this is one way to raise your consciousness. The other way, and I want to get back to Nikki's mindfulness placard or whatever you might call it in the background, is to write these things down, to write these things down so that you see them. And, you know, like on the refrigerator, I have, I meditate from, I used to meditate from 4 to 6 in the morning. Now I've gotten a little older recently and, and I'm not getting up as early as I used to. So I'm still meditating for 2 hours, but on my little index card, I have it crossed out the times to be more appropriate and up to date. And so it just says, I meditate from 5 to 7 in the morning. Boom. That's what I do. People like us do things like that. So again, that's a slogan. That's what I can fall back on. And to remember our rituals are so important in a time where there's so much change happening on the planet. And we're going to, it's, you know, the normal is going to be change. You know, impermanence has always been part of our lives. It's just that we've been able to hide it a little bit more and go into denial a little bit more that it's happening. And we can't do that anymore. It just doesn't work. So to be able to understand that change is just part of what's going on, impermanence is part of what's happening, is so very important, because then we'll learn how to navigate through. Yeah. So that raising of consciousness, excuse me, is getting a meta view. It's like being able to, you know, fly up into a helicopter and look down on your life and understand it in a different way. You know, sometimes people might do mushrooms or something like that to get a different perspective, or, you know, some other hallucinogenic that is a way for them to kind of get out of their fixed thinking. You know, their belief systems that maybe, as I described earlier, have no grounds to even be there. They're illusory. But how do we know that unless we delve deep into it and we see things from different perspectives? So to be able to use our different identities is also a way to raise your consciousness. So we've got antidotes, which I would also consider strong medicine. We have rituals. You know, a lot of people over the pandemic era stopped their rituals. You know, they started, their rituals became things like kind of zoning out. And I'm not going to get into that because, you know, it's talked about a lot out there in the world, but but, you know, overeating, but bottom line, binging on things, a way to be able to zone out. And so the rituals kind of dissipated. And part of it, you know, had to do with the fact that we weren't getting together as groups. You know, we weren't rubbing shoulders and we weren't hugging each other. And that's one of the reasons why, as many of you know, I have this, you know, I'm doing a journey of 1,000 hugs. And I started it last month when I went to Arizona and then I went to Texas. And it's like meeting people and hugging them because we haven't hugged in so many years. And, you know, hugging students at the school that I've fallen in love with, but we've never touched each other. You know, we've never... Yeah, falling into each other's arms. And it's true with faculty also. So hugging, touching, socialization is a very important piece to up-leveling consciousness, because we get out of our own head. You know, that's that compassion and empathy piece that's engaged. I want to say just a couple more things, and then maybe do a little bit of coaching around this, unless there's questions, and then we can skip the coaching. But the raising of consciousness, sorry, I have to clear my throat again. It's the wind and pollen. Hold on.
And also fire in this area.
Is that the fire over in Las Vegas?
There are fires in Las Vegas. That would be closest to you, and there are fires in the Bosque.
Okay. So here we are. Oh, and also I forgot to reiterate, just like me, just try that. You know, it's like, you know, maybe one of you is judging me right now because I'm coughing and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's somebody who's into mindfulness and who leads a school shouldn't be sounding so unhealthy or whatever, you know, and what you can do is just go, just like me, because we've all been ill. We've all been raspy. You know, there's a lot in the air right now in our pure mountain air that's compromising many people here in the Southwest. So just like me really helps. Just like me. Just like me. Oh my gosh, that person, I don't believe it. Just like me. Because if we haven't actually done it, we've thought it. Because that's kind of how we are in this world. So the slogans are important. And as Judah said, the Lojan is really a good, it's a good basic book. And I think Pema has it. She has one, and it's one of her earlier books because she studied it with Chungpo Rinpoche, but I can't remember exactly what it's called. But anyway, if you look it up, Pema Chodron Lojan, it's right there. So any questions about any of this that we've been talking about? You know, it really boils down to be the change you want to see. You know, it's so easy to start judging and putting a veil over things. But if we just take the veil off and we have compassion and empathy, everything softens. And it's funny, there's more of a flow that happens. So instead of like a frozen river, the river melts and life starts happening again. The chi starts flowing. It's not stagnant. No questions, no comments. Okay, all right. So who would like to be coached today that has not been coached on the mindfulness coaching call? And who really feels like you need to be coached? Particularly around maybe getting unstuck with something, you know, raising your consciousness. Really? All right. Let me just think about something for a second. Let's just do questions then. Q&A. Anybody have any questions about coaching? Or higher states of consciousness, or.
Is it all right to make a comment?
Sure.
To share something that happened to me recently. Yep. I had a very horrible neighbor. I live in a condo complex, and they moved out, but they were smoking and everything was coming into my house. You know, they were smoking, he smoked Swisher sweet cigars. mixed with weed, mixed with all the sprays. Okay. And I had to actually leave my home. So now they're trying, they've moved out, but now they're, they sent a letter from a lawyer saying that they want $5,000 from me and the fellow on the other side who also complained, if, you know, or we'd go to court. And so I got very, you know, upset about it because they had terrorized me. They had threatened me. There were a lot of things that happened. I had to leave my house for a month. And so I get this letter. And of course, I immediately started trembling again from the experience. And I was sitting there and all of a sudden it became a, I wanted to win, right? It, and I said, no, that's not right. Because winning puts me in a battle with them. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I said, I'm just going to raise above this. And it was like, when I made that decision and that shift, it was like everything, all the tension just came off of me. And it was so beautiful to have to, you know, to experience that when you finally say, I'm just raising above this. And it just let go of everything. I wasn't worried about the future. I wasn't worried about what had happened in the past. It was like, I was in the present moment.
Beautiful. That's a great example. And it, you know, and to be able to catch yourself, to be able to do that, to make that choice, that takes a lot of strength and it takes a lot of courage. Yeah. Kudos to you, Nikki. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. There was a, a lot next to our land that, was being built on, and they put a shed on it that was really kind of in my way. And I got very upset about it. And I went off to a retreat with Stephen Batchelor. This was like 15 or 20 years ago. And I worked with Stephen and Martine around it. And I came back, and what I did was I just, every night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would go out with my chair and I would sit in front of this shed and I would just love it. I would just beam love to it. And after, I don't know, I want to say 3 nights, it might've been 4 or 5 nights, I started kind of liking the shed there. You know, it was like, it was okay. It was all right. And so that mind training worked for me, not to say that we want to use it in areas that are dangerous or morally not okay, you know, those kinds of things. But when something actually is happening and it's been decided upon, and we're still not accepting it, to just be able to sit with it and see what arises. And so I love your story. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Just like me. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else? Share. Shanti, where did you go? There you are.
I'm like freezing for some reason. Can you guys hear me? Yeah, just like me. I have a situation with neighbors too. And I guess one of my questions around that is, I love that you could do that. But in my mind, I'm rationally thinking, yes, this is what I should do. And in my body, every time I drive by, they live like catty corner across the street, I just get this rage. And then I walked into Meal the other day to get some stuff for a party, and they were there and said hi. And I just like had this visceral. So it's like the disconnect between my mind, you know, like what I'd like to do in my mind and the somatic piece. So I'm curious how to address that. I mean, I've been working on it, but
yeah, I would find a coach to coach you. You know, because have you actually started taking the classes? Are you just?
Yeah, I just started.
Okay. Which one did you get into? Art of Engaged Mindfulness?
Yeah. And stretch.
Oh, good. Okay, great. And stretch starts next week.
Yeah.
You're in the intense. Okay. So I would bring that forward, especially with Phil in stretch. Okay. And Matt will be helpful too, of course. I mean, he's really good. But I would get coached around it, because my sense is, you know, I could give you advice, but that's not coaching. But the piece that, you know, that intuitively I'm getting kind of a hit of, is it okay if I share that with you?
Yeah.
That there's probably a lot more than about your neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, and darn it, I think that sometimes it's really about us. if we can learn how to, you know, delve in and excavate what's going on inside of ourselves, and then bring that forward and address it, oftentimes what's happening out here starts to dissolve.
Yeah. And I have done a little bit of that with some of the coaches that I'm working with on the somatic level. And I kind of got to this, like, being told that I'm wrong, I did something wrong as a little kid, when I know I didn't do something wrong. And that whole, like, you know, as a kid, when a grown-up tells you you've done something wrong, but you know you haven't, you feel powerless. You feel like, wait a minute, you know? And so that's a big part of it, I think, that's playing in the background for me.
So I would work with that, you know, get coached around that and see what arises. And then, you know, because what we want to do with somatic coaching is learn how to have our body's wisdom guide us. And so for you to be able to acknowledge that, you know, here they are right in front of you in public and your body's doing this thing, you know, what's that thing telling you? Because it could be that what that first layer is has nothing to do with three layers down.
Yeah.
And so I would just, you know, look at it and see what arises, you know, and get curious, you know, be an exploratory woman in the wilderness.
Yeah. And I guess that was related to a larger question I had, like some of the things you were saying, like, you know, let go of the drama, just like me, be the change you want to see. Like all of those things I think are great. And when I think to my current clients, I think they would be so frustrated by that because there's so many deeper anchors around what they're, you know, facing and challenged with that it's not easy for them to just be like, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, like go with the flow or whatever.
But these are specific to people here in the group. They're not specific to your clients.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we do is we customize the slogans for the client.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like that's why I said, where is it? It was with Matt. You know, Matt said, take time to reflect on changes. For me, I would need something more because of who I am. But for Matt, that works for him.
Right.
But for me, I would say I would need something like I'm learning to flow with the changes and digest them fully. And I might even just go, I'm learning to digest and flow with the changes. I might even, you know, get it more zen-like that way. But these, like what Cindy came up with about letting go of the drama, that's specific to her situation with Seder.
So the intent then is to sort of unhook from the spinning around it and just be able to reframe a little bit for them, have something that helps them take a step or create some buffer and not be spinning in it. Okay.
Thank you. And you know, there's a Tibetan term called Shenpa, S-H-E-N-P-A. And it basically means that you get hooked into something. Mm-hmm. And so how do we unhook? So I was hooked with this whole AirPod thing.
Yeah.
And I knew I was over the top and it didn't matter, you know, but I also knew I was tired. I had been traveling a lot. I had been going through some horrendous traffic in El Paso and Albuquerque. And I was ready to be home, you know? So I knew that that was also going on for me. But bottom line is I was hooked. I was in Shenpa. So a good hot tub, a good walk, you know, getting my body back in shape, you know, and then I'm back. So again, I hope everybody really got what Shanti and I were talking about, that these slogans that we just came up with were for each of you individually. They weren't for any of your clients. Your job as a coach is to help customize these slogans for your clients. Okay, just like what in Body Electric, what we do with, you know, the guided meditations. Okay, that's a good question, Shanti. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And, you know, an agenda has lots of different layers to it. So you might have like 1 week, it's the same agenda as 3 weeks later. But that first week is a slogan that's very different than 3 weeks later because you've done more work. And so that the slogans evolve. But for some reason, there are some slogans that just, they just work all the time. You know, like for me, as many of you know, my airport mantra is just this, breathing in just, exhaling this. as I'm lugging my, my furniture, as I'm lugging my luggage, you know, through the airport, you know, just this, a plane trip gets, you know, the flight gets canceled, breathing in, just exhaling this. It's just this. That's all it is. It's just this. It's just phenomena. Okay. Any other questions?
There happens to be a question in the chat box from the pet.
Let me get over there.
Whoops. If you want, I can read it. That's helpful.
Say hello. Who is this? We must have more people that are on. Just a second. Okay, yeah. Is it Crisol? Is that how I say your name? Okay. I'm just going to pop. We've got a couple more people. Okay. So I am new to coaching and I would like to hear what is the principal objective of coaching. Oh my gosh. This reminds me of like an essay question at the university. the principal objective of coaching, I think it probably is different for each coach, but for me, it's to, it's to remind my clients who they truly are. I think that that's basically it. It's to remind my clients who they truly are. It's so easy for us to forget, you know, that we are these amazing, you know, I mean, how come we're not the tree out in front? Or how is it that we're not that cloud up above? You know, how did we come into this incarnation the way we are now? So it's reminding, you know, as a coach, and I know that that kind of is taking the high road here, but it's to remind our clients how incredible they are, that they are creative, they are resourceful, and they're whole. And so it's, as a coach, it's me not fixing them. Instead, it's about empowering them. Does that make sense, Crisol? Wanting to know if she's going to respond. Okay. So any other question? And Carice, thank you. Therese, thank you. Anything else? Well, I'm curious about a couple things. How are you all navigating through life right now? As you know, do you have coaches? Have you hired coaches? It's most important. You know, there are some people, and I know that there's some people at the school that kind of slide through their studies and they never hire a coach. And I sometimes wonder, how could you ever be a coach if you haven't been a client? Because you need to know what it feels like to call somebody and just very simply say, would you be my coach? That's a really hard question sometimes to ask. Because what happens if they say no? So to be able to be on that side of being a client is an important piece. But, you know, so how are you... Are you doing this by yourself? Or are you getting coached? Christy.
So I recently had, I think it was 6 or 8 sessions with a coach, just really fried, you know, working as a counselor in a medical clinic with the doctors and dealing with COVID and everything. Has, you know, the burnout has been really strong. And so that's what I decided to do. And my organization actually did pay for it, which was fabulous. Wonderful young woman. And it was really, that's like the most like whole coaching experience I've had. And it was amazing how each session really felt about connecting with me. Is it my agenda? Connecting with me and going where I wanted to go at in that one session, But by the end, when I looked back over what we had accomplished, it was amazing. It was just like really in a different place. And knowing that, you know, she didn't try to lead anything. She was just really great at being there and asking the questions that I wouldn't have thought of, that I hadn't thought of yet, which is why I wanted to hire a coach. So it was great affirmation for me and thinking about moving back towards coaching again, as well as just getting through this difficult time, counseling people with COVID, you know, around the whole situation. So.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, there's something, there, not something, but there's a lot to be said for having somebody listen to you. Just listen. You know, I think some of my best coaching sessions are me just showing up as a coach and giving my total attention to that client. It doesn't matter what skills I use. Maybe I won't, you know, even not even use skills. Just, I'm just right there with them. Yeah. When I first started out in coaching to create my business, and some of you have heard this, but I'm going to share it because I know some of you haven't. I wanted to, by the time I was finished with my studies as a coach, my coaching studies, I wanted to have a full practice that I had transitioned from psychotherapy over to coaching. And that was a tall order for a variety of reasons, which I'm not going to get into. But I did cold calls. I mean, I was like a salesperson. I did cold calls and to people that I knew or people that knew somebody that I knew. And I'd just say, you know, I'm apprenticing. I'm doing an internship. And I need to get 750 hours because that's how many hours you needed for a PCC. And I'm very inexpensive. In fact, I'd like you to say yes. So I'm so inexpensive, it's a no-brainer for you to say yes, because I'm going to be cheaper than a matinee, a popcorn, and a drink. And at that time, that was like $10 for a half hour. And I said, where else in the world would you be able to pay somebody $10 and have them just totally listen to you? It's all about you every single second. And I didn't mean that to be a sales spiel, but it ended up to be a sales spiel because people wanted that. They wanted to be listened to. They wanted to be heard, as we learn about in Deeper Than Words. So just saying, you know, get a coach. And I'm just going to, what time is it? Okay. So soon, very soon, hopefully in the next week, we're going to be launching what we're calling a Coach Finder. It may have a different name. I want something a little bit sexier, but Coach Finder is it for right now. And we're going to be having our alumni who are credentialed, as well as our senior students and our new students who are ready to do some coaching on that, so that people can find coaches to work with. And it'll be very inexpensive. And faculty will be there also. So just wanted to let you know that it's available. And for those of you who are not part of the school, you know, one of the very big deals is getting your coaching client hours in. So you'll be helping, you know, students here at the school get their coaching hours. Yeah. Before we leave, I wanted to just also dedicate our time together. And I want to preface it first by saying I do a lot of work with TED, TED.com, and I coach TED fellows. And so and they're very generous, and they always send me a ticket to get into the TED Talks. And they've just launched one. It started yesterday, and it's the first one that they've done in 2 years. So it's a very big deal. And they started it out. It was so beautiful. And they started it out by a violinist down in a basement, and he was just playing violin. It was live. Just playing his violin. And then, and everything's on Zoom except for the people that are there, but you know, I'm on Zoom. And then another violinist pops up over here, and then another violinist. And the first six violinists were all in the Ukraine. It was all, two of them were in Kiev, and they were all playing the Ukrainian Ukrainian folk song. And then it, as it started to pick up, some music started to pick up, there were violinists, I'm gonna cry. There were violinists from all over the world that had learned this and practiced with them to show solidarity. And so I want to dedicate our time together today to the Ukrainians who are suffering. And I have a sweet young man who's been in a basement for over 6 weeks in Kiev. And he's a psychologist, and I think he's 29. And, you know, many of us have relations, have friendships that are there, but not to exclude the Russians. If we exclude the Russians, then we are lowering our consciousness. And what's happening right now by having countries warring is it's going backwards. So we need to be able to keep our consciousness up and to not exclude anyone on the planet. It's very important to do that so that there's no enemy images. So keep lifting your consciousness. Keep remembering that Russian soldier who died has a mother who's in tears and doesn't know how she's going to live her next hour. And the same with the Ukrainian mom. So we need to be able to embrace this. And that's one of the things that was talked about in the TED, in one of the TED meetings this morning. The importance of not falling into old programming, old belief systems. You know, that this is the enemy. Well, you know, maybe we have a world leader that needs to be doing something else. So, or whatever. I'm not being very eloquent with my words right now, but bottom line is we're in a different era and we need to walk the talk. Very, very important. So please do that. And let's dedicate our time together to all the Ukrainians and to the Russians. You know, may they find peace and may they find antidotes, strong medicine to what they're telling themselves, so that all of us can be included in that and move forward. Aho. Thank you. Glad you were here. And I can stay a little bit later if you have any questions about the school. I'd be happy to, because I know some of you are new. So anyway, thank you. Thanks so much for being here and doing what you're doing out in the world. Bye. You're supposed to leave now. Everybody's like, does anybody have any questions? Bye, Christy. See you later. Bye. Bye, Judah.
I actually had a question.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just got an email back saying that I only have the business alchemy, which is so